Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our showrooms are open for business with your health and safety our priority. For more, log on to kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Joe at RTE.ie. Still no sign of that press conference starting. Derek Oman. Derek, you were listening to Trey. Your point, please.
I was, yes. I was just listening to, and this is a country that's supposed to be looking after the youth and the elderly, and there's a young lad being abused, and we're supposed to be looking after our children. That's just disgraceful. But just another example, like, when we see people, some of the racist remarks we're talking about, we see black people or coloured people, and it's a physical aspiration that you see. But in my particular case, like, I can trace our heritage back to the Vikings in the Wood Quay.
Okay, your surname is Oman.
Yeah, my grandfather blew the bugle outside Liberty Hall when the 1916 Rising started.
Brilliant.
And they went up and took over City Hall. The plaque is up on the wall.
Yeah.
So I'm Irish, I'm white, and I'm in my 60s. And recently in a voluntary organisation which I had volunteered to, which is it's a well-known organisation, so I won't mention it, but I wasn't happy the way things were going myself with the organisation. I sent in a resignation. And the following day, I got loads of compliments, you know, doing great Trojan work. But then one came in with no address, no email, and unsigned. And it was the most vile, vulgar, racist remarks that told me to go back to blah, 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 what country I came from. Like,
because of your surname, they presumed.
Yeah. They assumed because of my surname that I was foreign. Because there is a country called Mushkat and Oman and the Sultan of Oman. But I think it was purely because of my name. No, I was born and bred in the Liberties.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I mean, we lived in the Liberties before it got fashionable with the likes of Brenda Flicker and all these moved in and the house prices went up.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter where you're, born.
It's an underlying, like,
presumption.
People can see somebody being black and will abuse them that way. But then there's an undertone, and it's a mindset, and how you change that mindset, I don't really know. It's there. And even the person that wrote the letter to me, it was either him or her, like, it was, if you were writing something, you would look at it. You could even run it through spell check. But this was a pure rant and was put in words.
Okay.
And even the spelling was wrong. Like, they couldn't even get the swear rules right. They added an extra D in one case and another T in another.
Says it all, Derek, doesn't it?
And that's just a comment that I'd like to make. You know?
Okay, and well made. Thanks, Derek. Let me go to Colette Costello. The changes that we're told will be formally announced in the next few minutes, apparently, no sign of a starting, that the 5K will be lifted on Monday and it will be, you can travel anywhere once you're within your county boundaries. Colette, your point, please.
Joe, thank you for taking my call. I spoke with you before. My father passed away in March of this year.
Okay.
Nursing home in Lucan.
Right.
And I live in Leacliffe with my sister. So we go down. My mum is still in the nursing home in Lucan.
Yeah.
And that's outside the, you know, because we're going from one county to the other, from Kildare into Dublin.
Okay.
I'm actually at present down at the cemetery where my father's laid to rest.
Right.
And, like, I'm going to continue doing that, Joe, because I've done everything, like most people, you know, to try and stop the spread of this disease, this horrible thing. You know, we're up the walls wondering, when will we ever get in to see my mother in the nursing home? Because she's gone downhill so much with the Alzheimer's since my father died. She's not speaking, nothing. And, like, the only saving grace we have is actually to go down and stand outside the nursing home. We can't even see her because we don't know what's going on in her mind. But at least we feel a bit closer to her from standing outside the building, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, Do you know what I mean?
There have been discussions on air and indeed in print that there was going to be some lifting under strict guidelines, that people might be able to see their loved ones through the window of a nursing home or at a distance.
Yeah, and they can do sorry, Joe, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Would that help? Would that help you, Colette?
No, because, Joe, since my father died, my mother has not spoken.
Yeah.
So we don't know what's going on with my mom's head anymore, so we don't. And what we're afraid is they can bring her, there's two glass sliding doors in the nursing home going in. So they were suggesting the other day maybe we could bring her down to one that you could see her. But we're afraid that that might trigger something in her head. Do you know what I'm saying? At the moment, she's content. She's not verbal or anything. So we really don't know what's going on in her head. But we don't want to upset that. Do you know what I mean?
The closest we can get to my mother
at the moment is standing at the building.
Okay, I've got to. Let's listen into the press conference. It might be an announcement. This is
the safety of the people shall be our highest law. This is the approach that we've taken since the pandemic was declared in March. Today, I can confirm that it is safe to move to phase two of the plan to reopen our country, starting on Monday. This has been made possible because of the considerable sacrifices that you have made to restrict the spread of the virus and protect others. Thanks to your perseverance in pushing back COVID-19, I'm also announcing an acceleration of the roadmap. Over the last few months, fear has exerted a kind of gravity pulling us down, but now we find there is hope lifting us up again. During this emergency, we have suffered as a country, lost loved ones, and changed the way that we work and live. We are making progress. We are heading in the right direction. And we have earned the right to be hopeful about the future again. Based on the medical evidence and the recommendations from NPHET and government reports on the economic and social impact of COVID-19, Cabinet today agreed to implement all elements of Phase 2 and move further along the roadmap, a phase 2 plus if you like. We've also agreed to bring forward actions in the remaining phases. So there will now just be 4 phases rather than 5. Phase 3 is starting on the 29th of June and phase 4 on the 20th of July with a 3-week interval as previously planned. Under the guidance of the CMO and other experts, we'll work out in the days ahead which actions will take place in each phase. But some measures, like bans on mass gatherings, may need to remain in place well into the autumn, as will general public health advice around hygiene and physical distancing. The Taoiseach and I informed the First Minister and Deputy First Minister of Northern Ireland about these decisions earlier today. As you know, I've always said that we would accelerate the reopening of our country, but only if it was safe to do so. Thanks to your actions, we have now reached that point, and with your help, we'll keep moving forward. So we all need to stick to what we've been doing right, washing our hands regularly, keeping 2 metres apart whenever possible, observing coughing and sneezing etiquette, avoiding crowded places, wearing face coverings on public transport, and self-isolating when sick. As we ease the restrictions and meet and interact more, this will become more important, not less. And while we are able to reduce the number of phases from 5 to 4, we shouldn't assume that we can move from one phase to the next. We have to keep doing what we've been doing right and keep the virus under control. I know that this has been a particularly difficult period for those who are over 70 and people who are medically vulnerable. And many have yearned to break free from cocooning, a term that I know some people find insulting rather than reassuring. But now there is cause for hope. From Monday, it will be permissible for people in this category to welcome a small number of visitors to their homes, although we're asking the physical distancing is still observed. Shops will also provide dedicated hours for those who are over 70 or in an at-risk group. It's important that people continue to avoid unnecessary travel. So our message today and for the next 3 weeks is to stay local. We recognise the difficulty that the 5-kilometre travel restrictions are having, especially for people living in rural Ireland. So from Monday, people can travel anywhere within their own county or up to 20 kilometres from their homes, whichever is the greater. It's planned to remove domestic travel restrictions altogether at the start of Phase 3 on the 29th of June. In the meantime, they remain legally enforceable by the Gardaí. We want people to stay local and to stay in their own county so that the virus is not reintroduced to counties that are COVID-free today. From Monday, groups of up to 6 people will be able to meet with each other indoors or outdoors once they keep 2 metres apart. And groups of up to 15 people can meet for outdoor sporting activities. Solitary workers can return to their workplaces, and people who can maintain a physical distance from others on a phased basis. However, working from home should remain the norm for those who can. Up to 25 people will be allowed to attend funerals of loved ones, pay their respects and grieve together. Public libraries can open on Monday. And there'll be a new summer education programme for children with special educational needs and disadvantage, as it's now safe to do so. And Minister McHugh will bring proposals in this regard to government next week. Outdoor facilities and amenities for children, including commercial ones, can reopen as well. Playgrounds, once supervised, can reopen on Monday, and outdoor camps for children can also be held once there are no more than 15 people mixing together. We believe this will have a positive impact on the mental and physical health of children in particular. Elite athletes can return to their training facilities, marts can reopen, and greyhound racing resume without spectators. We're also approving the reopening of all shops from Monday. It's important that the return to retail should not create crowding on public transport or interfere with essential workers trying to get to work. Therefore, the shops that are reopening, that is the ones that are not open already, will be required to operate staggered hours, opening no earlier than 10:30 a.m. and allocating dedicated time for elderly, vulnerable and at-risk people. Shopping malls can open on June 15th, provided only the shops open and measures are taken to ensure that people do not congregate at benches, fountains or food courts, for example. Summer is not lost, and this can be a summer of hope if we keep the virus at bay. So Cabinet also decided today to plan for a return of the tourism and hospitality sectors on the 29th of June as part of a revised Phase 3. We want to see the return of domestic tourism in our country, and the reopening of hotels, restaurants, hostels, caravan parks, galleries and museums from the 29th of June, making it possible also for bars to reopen if they serve food, with table service only, and restaurants as well. Make it possible for us to explore our country as if for the first time and rediscover the beauty that is all around us. We also want places of worship to resume services again in Phase 3. With precautions. As our country opens up and we start interacting more, personal responsibility becomes more important than ever. We got into this fight against COVID together and will only emerge from it if we continue to act together. And we'll be reinforcing this message in new public information campaigns over the coming days. So this afternoon, let me end with the words of a wise man, some words of hope. In the end, it's only a passing thing, this shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come, and when the sun shines, it'll shine out all the clearer. So thank you for your hard work, your choices, your perseverance. That new day is now approaching. Thank you very much.
Okay,
I think this is around the 8th time that I've stood at these podiums.
So Simon Harris speaking. He's off camera, the Minister of Health.
Stark messages about the implications of COVID-19 for all of our country. And today, thankfully, is a little bit different, because today is a day of hope. It's certainly not a day of elation, and it's certainly not a moment where we can say mission accomplished. But we can now see the chance to take back our lives from the grip of this virus. Today we can take some further, tentative but not insignificant steps towards a more normal society and economy. And we do so together, as we've done everything together so far on this journey. Without unity of purpose, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind we would not have arrived at this point. Because though we've been separated, we've never been divided. and though we've been apart from each other, we've never been closer. In the next stage, though, we do become even more interdependent, not less. It's as we take these next steps that we have to take the greatest care. It's as we begin to gladly and thankfully see more of each other that we need even more to protect each other. We know the toll this has taken so far, most of all on those who have lost loved ones, and we think of each and every one of them today. But today we can begin to hope again as a country. We can begin to look forward once again. For all of us, we can now, from next week, go a little further from our homes while staying local. See a few more people while staying distant. Go back to doing some of the simple things we've so missed while doing them differently, cleverly and carefully. While we've all been affected by this pandemic, I think it's fair to say that children and older people have perhaps found it harder than most. Deprived of close companions, simple pleasures and dearly held routines. Missing each other. For people over the age of 70 and for those with medical conditions, we've asked an awful lot of you. You've shouldered those challenges with great difficulty and great courage. So now, whether it be a cup of tea in the neighbour's house or having some of the family over for dinner, or the long-awaited and much-needed reunion of grandparents and grandchildren, I hope that today's measures will bring some relief. For those who have loved ones living in nursing homes, we're also introducing a series of recommendations about the phased reintroduction of visits so you can again see your loved ones. For children, the summer that seemed stolen can now start somewhat to return. You can now visit playgrounds, maybe go to a summer camp, perhaps start your sports training again. For children with special needs, we're planning some measures for you too, including some additional activities over the summer months. So to children watching in on this who have been from the start, let me say this to you. I know this hasn't been easy on you. I know it's been really hard without your friends and without your school. But I promise you this. If you continue to listen to your parents and listen to doctors, listen to Dr. Tony and indeed Dr. Leo, you'll be able to do even more in a few weeks' time. I know it's not everything you want, but it is a start. It will continue to be a challenge. But because we've been able to get this far, we know we can get it right in the next phase. We will need to embrace the public health measures with the same vigour as we did right back at the very beginning. Washing hands, coughing and sneezing properly, keeping our distance, staying local, avoiding crowds, being vigilant for the symptoms of COVID-19. Things you're probably sick and tired of hearing us saying become even more important. And there's also some newer behaviours we need to get used to. We've already advised the wearing of face coverings on public transport and in shops. And today we're also recommending face coverings for people visiting or being visited by those who have been cocooning, for those visiting people in residential care facilities and in indoor work settings where 2 metres distance is difficult to maintain. These behaviours, these public health measures, are the first line of defence in a more open and more mobile country. Our personal behaviour is our safety net in a world and a country where this virus is still very much present. We know our actions will determine the course of this virus. They have from the start. And we know our actions can steer us to a better tomorrow. We've been in this together, and the only way to safely get out of it is together. We've proved we can suppress the virus, but now we do face another test. Over the next 3 weeks, we must prove we can live alongside it and keep it weak at the same time. But if we do it, the prize is great. We can move to the next phase with more ambition, more hope, more freedom. But to do so, to get there, we must remain careful, cautious, vigilant and together. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. As we continue our fight against this pandemic, the efforts of our people and businesses have...
Okay, we'll keep an ear across what the Business Minister, Heather Humphreys, is saying, but given that Simon Harris... spoke very well, but he basically repeated what the Taoiseach had already said. Barry Lennon is with us from Drive Time, that programme, like every other daytime programme here in the Radio Centre, doing incredible work since the coronavirus issue first was raised on Liveline back on January 27th, believe it or not. And there hasn't been a day since when we have not talked about it. Barry, give us the phrase, the main takeaways from the announcement today.
10 weeks today since the shutters were brought down in the country by the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar, and now confirmation from the government, as has been expected, the light is expected to shine again, but in an accelerated fashion. The government's roadmap to leave lockdown is being accelerated. Remember, five phases we had, Joe. Mm-hmm. Phase five was supposed to be the 10th of August. However, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has now confirmed there'll just be four phases of exiting lockdown, with the final phase now to come on July 20th. Some of the key points, some of the issues which you've touched so delicately on this programme, such as funerals, confirmation there from the Taoiseach that now 25 people will be allowed to attend a funeral. In terms of visiting nursing homes, those restrictions mm-hmm. going to be eased as well, and gatherings of six people allowed in people's homes. Cocooners, those cocooning, he acknowledged that has been a controversial mm-hmm. issue, he said, Mr. Varadkar. I know it has been insulting to some, but now comes a time perhaps of liberation. So those aged over the age of 70, perhaps allowed to do what others have been allowed to do as well. All shops are to reopen, all outdoor shops will reopen from Monday once they have a street entrance. They will only open from 10:30 in the morning, staggered opening and closing hours, and must have designated times for cocooners. A big thing is the reopening of shopping centres. That will come on the 15th of June. And why is that big? That's because in the original roadmap to leave lockdown, that was slated for the 10th of August. Did Dr. Tony Holohan agree to the shopping centres being open on the 15th of June? That is going to be an issue to watch in the days ahead. But the message is really from Mr. Varadkar and Mr. Harris there. A lot of it will come to personal responsibility. Simon Harris's words, today a day of hope, but the prize is great. But to get there, we must remain so on track.
I woke up last Monday, the bank holiday, and I said to myself, it was 50 days until July 19th, when people would be allowed to travel around the country, all things going well, lots of work. It now looks like they've compacted that into 22 days.
Echoing, I suppose,
They've halved that time, which is incredible.
So you're looking at, from Monday, John Milan's famous words, I love me county. People will be able to go and travel anywhere within their own county, which will be also important for people in the likes of the Inishowen Peninsula. And as you say, Joe, from the 29th of June, you could go anywhere else outside
caravan
of Durham.
Caravan parks are reopening, hotels.
All the hospitality sector and pubs as well. Remember that issue which Charlie Chalk brought
to you? Still
here?
Saying pubs were restaurants?
Pubs
with
restaurants.
Food license,
pubs, again, we don't have the fine specifics, but pubs with restaurants, hairdressers. I know your old Gruiga there is getting a little long. That is down for phase four, July 20th. But the key message, I suppose, for those perhaps getting anxious about the hair is that the Taoiseach confirmed that the details of what might move from phase five into that July 20th and what will reopen on June 29th, that will be finessed over the coming days. So you could see hairdressers reopen on June 29th rather than July 20th. Summer camp's going to be with us as well, with no more than 15 people from next Monday as well. And another key thing, remember your conversation in McCoy's pub in Carrickstown with Nuala Carey and the 2 metres. The government, the cabinet has agreed to carry out a study in relation to the 2 metres social distancing requirement and whether that could perhaps come down to one, which again will be oh so important for the McCoys and the likes across the country.
Okay, Barry, stay with us. You're going to keep listening to the press conference, and we'll be back after this break. 5-1-5-1, one more chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
So June 29th is the big opening day, it seems, for most. Big changes from Monday, but major changes on June the 29th. It could be Liberation Day or whatever. It's a Monday. Maybe there's no bank holiday in July. Maybe there's a cause for it on June 29th to get people back out. Professor Martin Cormick, and Martin, a clinical lead for infection control, the HSE, has been on in the studio many times. Martin, good afternoon. What's your take? Obviously, you're advising the government. Have the government taken all your advice, or have they gone beyond your advice?
Well, just to be clear, I'm not on the National Public Health Emergency team, but I'm the expert advisory group to that. But broadly speaking, and we're still hearing what the announcements are, I would welcome the it's the risk of COVID hasn't gone away, and nor does anybody think it's gone away. But I think people have worked very hard to get us where we are. I think people have found the burden of that has been very hard on people. And there are risks associated with lockdown, just as there are risks associated with COVID-19. And it is a difficult road to chart, but I think broadly speaking, what we're looking at here is trying to chart a middle ground between managing the COVID risk, which hasn't gone away, but also letting people have their lives back and have some joy and finding that balance. And I think, you know, a key part of this is nobody is saying if I want to be more cautious and if I want to nobody's making me go out. I think what it's doing is enabling that and saying, you know, if the right thing for you is to go out a bit more than you were doing up to now, well, there's, you know, it's okay for you to do that. So I think people want to live a bit again, maybe be less afraid, but be careful. And that's the key thing, is it's not like abandon all of the things we've tried to do in the last few months about keeping distance, about keeping our hands clean, about respecting other people's space. We need, you know, we do need to stay careful, but I think that many people have found it so difficult that they will really welcome the chance to.
And is it your clear understanding, as of from the 29th of June, 24 days away, like is the 50K limit gone?
Well, you're probably better informed in this than I have, because I haven't heard the Taoiseach's. I've heard the general outline.
Well, he said caravan parks, but you have to get to a caravan park. Hotels, you have to get to a hotel. So we presume the 50K is gone.
Well, as I said, I haven't heard the details. I understand what you're saying, and if they're going to be open, people are going to have to go there, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
And Martin, do you know hairdressers or people, dentists? Well, begin with the most important one there, dentists, for example.
Well, we talked about dentists, I think, the last time we were in the studio, and dental services are terribly important to people's oral health and their overall health. So and there are lots of people, I think, who will be very happy to be able to go and see their dentist again, because they've been waiting to do that. So, again, I think the thing, as I said, is it's not that the COVID risk is still there. Nobody is taking their eye off the ball around that. I think that what we're looking at is trying to find that balance between... I think that people would have found it very difficult to continue with all of the restrictions. I think people start to get tired of it. And I think there is a risk that if you ask too much of people, that they may not be able to do it and they may give up. So I think that trying to find a measured way of getting people to have a less restricted life but to still be careful seems to me like a very reasonable approach to take.
Okay, your colleague Tony Holohan is speaking. Let's, the Chief Medical Officer, let's...
Clearly, in terms of where we're at in terms of disease transmission, the evidence that we see in terms of the impact of that disease, the evidence we're seeing in terms of the impact of the measures that are in place in terms of restrictions, and then also the experience that we have observed in other countries. So, for the most part, the advice in which the roadmap is based was put together based on our understanding and observations back in April. At that point in time, there had been no country that was in a space of easing restrictions, and there was nothing to base any observation of that on. We've had that experience now, so just because of the progression of the disease across Europe, it has arrived in Ireland slightly later than other countries. They've been in a position to ease restrictions at an earlier stage than us, and we've been in a position to observe that. And with a small number of exceptions, for the vast majority of countries across Europe, which has been the epicentre of this infection, at least until recently, a mixed combination of easing of restrictions has been followed by a continued downward pattern in terms of the impact of the disease, the occurrence of the disease in those countries. And so that all gives us assurance, if you like, in terms of the public health rationale for the pace, the nature of the restrictions. And so we reassessed all of this at our meeting of the National Public Health Emergency Team yesterday and set out the advice that we thought we could move to bringing the next three phases into two phases.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, you know, from the very start of the pandemic, going back to March,
Barry, we'll go back to press. Barry, are you picking up anything else at the Q&A?
It's related, as you restated, June 29th, the big day when most of the country will reopen, and July 20th, the exiting of lockdown. Those are the two new key dates. Mm-hmm. And one important thing which we haven't mentioned is in relation to Mass. Places of worship will reopen for religious services on June 29th. And Leo Varadkar, just before you picked up there with Tony Holland explaining why the government going to phase two and phase two plus and accelerating lockdown, just to do with the transmission of the virus, the number of clusters and just the general suppression of the virus in the community.
And funerals up to 25 people from Monday, is it?
From Monday,
this
yes.
Monday. Okay. And shopping centres from June 15th, which is nearly enclosed shopping centres, which is nearly 2 months ahead of what was originally proposed, wasn't it?
Originally slated
announced,
for August 10th, but you heard Dr. Tony Holohan there making reference that this was a plan drawn up in April. So perhaps, Mr. Holohan, we were looking for this cleavage between Dr. Holohan and Dr. Varadkar in terms of what they were agreeing in reopening the country, but Dr. Holohan appearing to give his blessing. And Mr. Varadkar there also, before you came to him, referencing how the OR number, that all-important reproductive rate, below one, hence why accelerating the reopening.
Okay.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Big changes to the lockdown from Monday. Massive changes to the lockdown from the 29th of June. Monday, 3 weeks. Dr. Tomás Ryan, Assistant Professor of Neurosciences at TCD. Sorry for bouncing you into this, Tomás. What do you make of the new timescale and the new roadmap? Much shortened.
Well, it's very interesting, still trying to get a hold of all the details. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing to say is this looks strongly like a political decision. And that's okay because in itself, because the public health measures cannot be based solely on public health advice. They have their public health decisions that are made by government and informed by public health advice. However, I'm slightly troubled that there's the reasoning behind these decisions seems to be solely about keeping us as a population happy and are not paying enough attention to the situation with the spread of how COVID-19 is going to look in the next three-week period. There's nothing about the current curve. There's nothing about the current transmission rates or the current numbers that were unpredictable a month ago. We were always going to get here. We were always going to get to a situation where we would have a curve that's about as flat as this. It's not unexpected, and I don't think we should be considering this an achievement. Mm-hmm. So I don't really understand why the change in strategy, and therefore it seems to me to be more about keeping the population.
Yeah, but the CMO, Tomás, Dr. Tony Holohan, has just said a few minutes ago there's no deviation from the government decision and the advice they gave.
Well, they're obviously changing the plan.
So they're
changing what they're doing. In terms of whether it's what they're doing now is incongruent with public health advice, obviously the CMO is happy that it's not particularly incongruent, but then what was the basis of the initial plan in the first place? I think that there's a lack of transparency regarding why they're making the decisions they're making. And some of them are never particularly scientific. So, for instance, the 5 or 20-kilometer radius for travel, that was never based on anything scientific or epidemiological. That was a pragmatic decision to try and keep people in their locality.
Well, now you can travel within your own county, but that's no way is that scientific because the county boundaries were drawn up by chieftains, 1,000 years ago?
Exactly, but it can still be public. It can still be pragmatic from a public health perspective to restrict clustering. What's concerning me is that, Joe, look, when we're thinking about how we're managing this virus going forward, and we're going to be living with this for a long time, there's two kinds of measures that we can do. There's the measures on the part of the population, which are what we've been suffering under lockdown and the social distancing we have now. This is where the cost is on the citizen, on the person trying to work, go to school, and live their normal life. But the flip side of the coin, which is the main job of the state, the main job of the government, are the containment measures. And the containment measures are completely lacking. And this is what's very alarming.
And you've been very, very strong on instant testing. Mandatory quarantine.
not just testing and tracing, but also masks. So containment means things that actively prevent the transmission of the virus. One is masks, which is what you as a citizen can do, but we need guidance from the government, and we've gotten that too late in the day. Not enough people are wearing masks. Okay. And secondly, testing, tracing, and isolation.
Okay.
All of this is currently non-functional.
Okay, that needs to be addressed. Okay. Tomas, I'm sorry, I'm sounding so rude, but it's after 3 o'clock. Thanks to Professor Martin Cormack. Final words, Barry Lennon.
Keeping an ear to the press conference, we're sorry we got your hopes up earlier on, but the Taoiseach has said that hairdressers, barbers, nail salons won't reopen before July 20th as planned. So July 20th, when they reopen, no air travel, whilst guidance for the hospitality sector will be issued in the coming days.
Okay, thanks indeed, Barry Lennon. Annette Egan produced, and the series producer is Rebecca Meehan.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.